Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon. I have Heather Simmons-Jones with us here this afternoon. And she, of course, I'm sure many of you already know, some of you may not, but she is the new CEO of the Partnership Alliance. How you doing today, Heather?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is a great opportunity to talk to you as you're getting ready, because actually you don't take over the reins until the April 15th.
Officially, that is correct.
All right. So are you still interim? Is that what they're calling you now?
Or they've actually dropped the interim tag.
They have?
It's been a fun and fast ride, I'll tell you.
Well, that's great. That's
yes,
great.
Yes.
So where do you come from? You're not from Greenwood. Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in Florida, but I got to South Carolina before my second birthday, so I just kind of claim South Carolina.
Okay.
I grew up in the low country on the Savannah River in
yeah.
Hampton and Allendale counties, so I'm a country girl at heart, grew up doing all the good outdoorsy kinds of things, so I'm glad to be in a community where I can do that and have, you know, a larger community than what I grew up in as
Absolutely.
Well, so it's a nice blend of the two.
Sure. And then, I guess, as you were growing up, you went to Clemson.
I did.
We got you in the Clemson chair. We specifically put that chair there so you'd be comfortable today.
I'm very, very happy about that chair. If it had been Garnet, I may have had to walk out.
Okay. All right. Well, we also broadcast Clemson right here on WCRS, too. You know, if you're moving into the area, you ever want to tune it in, you can pick up the games and whatnot right here on WCRS.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So you are taking on this position. Now, just for the record, how did you get to this point to be taking over? Didn't they hire you actually to do a search?
Yes, that's correct, Anna. About 2 years ago, I actually did an HR search for the Partnership Alliance when Mark Warner was there for a business development position. And so I had worked with him in that capacity. And then knew Mark and his staff when I was president of the South Carolina Economic Developers Association. So when Mark knew that he was about to depart, the executive committee asked if there were any folks that he felt like could take over in an interim capacity, and then they were separately going to look for someone that could help them with a CEO search.
Sure.
And so I, interestingly enough, kind of interviewed for both of those roles in a hybrid, and that's exactly what they hired me to do. So I came into Greenwood, I think it was August 26th, something like that, the last week of August. And Mark and I did a one-week transition together, and then been here ever since. The interesting thing, though, was obviously I did not find myself. So
you already been found
yeah,
yourself, yeah.
I found myself many years ago.
Right.
But we did agree that I would give up the search for the CEO position, and that ended up being handled by our executive committee running through the county's HR office. So just in case anyone wondered if I, you know, was out there looking for myself, that was not the case.
So you didn't write your own job description?
I didn't. But if they'll let me.
Yeah, well, that would be a deal, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So you came as an interim and to help look for the job search originally.
Correct.
Okay. And then changed and dropped the job search and became a candidate for the interim.
Right.
Well, as interim to become the next CEO.
Right. And part of what precipitated dropping the search was not just to become a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It was also because our business development director resigned to go into a site consultant position with a major site consultancy firm. And that left us then with another vacancy.
And who was that?
Catalina Valencia.
Right. Okay.
So then we were only left with Julie Miner as a full-time employee. And the executive committee and I kind of looked at each other and said, given the amount of bandwidth or hours that are
right.
in a week, we feel that it's best for you to keep the prospects going and the organization running, and we'll handle the search on our own. So I shifted the time I would have been spending on the CEO search to winning projects and organizational management and those sorts of things.
Sure. So I would just be curious, since you've lived in Columbia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
3 years.
That's 3 years. And you had your own company.
Yep.
Why would you give up all that?
It's interesting. It's a great question. And I have a kind of a professional reason and I have kind of a personal reason. Okay. The professional reason is you reach a critical mass or a critical stage where you can't be what you need to be for all your clients. And while it was fun to be growing the company and seeing the profits get greater and greater and greater, it got to a point where I realized I wasn't going to be able to continue that amount of work, and I wasn't going to be able to continue my best work for those clients. So in my mind, I'd kind of gotten to the place where I was either going to have to start telling people no, mm-hmm. or tell people no. 'Cause the other option was not to do less than my best, sure. in terms of work. So that was one factor. The other is, you know, I have an 8-year-old son and a husband. Mm-hmm. And a husband.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make certain they heard both of those points.
Okay.
So, but, you know, he's, to the point of my son, he's not going to be 8 forever.
Right.
And I was
they
on
grow
the,
up fast.
They do. And I was on the road a lot. And really had, quite honestly, missed a lot over the last few years. And so, you know, when you mix the fact that you're working 90 plus hours a week trying to keep everyone happy and doing good work for them, and then you look at your child and say, you're 3 inches taller than I remember. There's some signs
Absolutely.
There that are pretty definite about needing to make a change. And
sure.
so those were two major contributing factors to my interest in the position.
So, okay. Well, now, what happens to your... And how long ago did you start your company, just out of curiosity?
It will... let's see. October 2011.
2011, okay. And what made you decide to go into business, just out of curiosity, on your own? I mean, that's a big step, isn't it?
It is. I kind of have an entrepreneurial spirit. My husband...
I used to.
Well, you
I
know,
used to.
It's
I've been,
tough.
I've, yeah, it's very tough, let me tell you.
It's extremely tough. I mean, my husband and I also have a bow tie company, so we always are dabbling, and we just kind of like that sort of thing. And, you know, I looked at economic development and kind of said, what's missing? Mm-hmm. And the things that were missing were these interim roles. You know, someone leaves and everyone looks at each other and the sky's falling. Chicken Little comes out.
Right.
Or you have a smaller community that can't or could not afford to have a full-time economic development professional, but wanted someone that was, you know, $100,000 person, but they didn't need them all the time.
Sure.
So I just kind of looked at all the gaps and said, those are proficiencies I have. And then I got my master's in HR and said, you know, that's something I can do as well. And it just naturally kind of became a business plan, and it rolled out, and, you know, it's been great. It's been super fun.
That is terrific, particularly to have started right there in the middle of this down economy that we've been dealing with
Absolutely.
For so long.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people think I'm crazy because the company was doing extremely well.
Sure.
But you can't buy time with money, you know, and so you just have to, I will say for me personally, I had to realign my priorities.
Sure. I understand that. I mean, we own Sharp Facets, the radio station. We have wholesale. We have retail. And it's never ending.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
You're always on.
Yep. Have you ever had that experience where you're almost going to sleep and your husband says to you, by the way, did you make that telephone call today? What do you mean, did I make that telephone call?
Usually that's my husband getting that, did you do it for me?
Yeah, exactly. But that's hard. That's tough.
And it does put
stress even on a relationship.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And, you know, when you're both in business for yourself, too,
yeah.
it's and, you know, you're both essentially working off commission of what you're able to go out there and hunt and kill.
Kill, right.
Yeah. I mean, hunting's one thing. Killing it and bringing it home to eat something else.
You are exactly right. Hey, I'm here with Heather Simmons-Jones, and we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. If you've got a question for Heather, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest is the CEO of the Partnership Alliance right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. We were just talking about why she is giving up her business, because you have to give it up to take this job, correct?
Right. It is a condition of my employment.
So do you have any idea? Are you going to be able, do you have a partner?
I do. I have one partner.
And so y'all are investigating different possibilities on how to wind you out of this?
Exactly. So, you know, there's, I guess, three opportunities. Either close the company, mm-hmm. For my partner to buy me out directly, or for us to find someone to buy my half of the company.
Sure. So, and that has to be tough with your clients, though, isn't it, too?
It is. Yeah. It's very tough, because they all contracted with Heather.
Yeah.
So. My partner is a silent partner, so he doesn't work in the business.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be tough. This is mm-hmm. going to be tough for you.
It is.
I know.
It is.
And tough for your clients. Now, one of the ones that you worked with McCormick.
Yes.
Still do.
Through April 15th.
Right. And that's kind of that part-time position that you were talking about, correct? Helping them with their economic development over there?
Yes. I am contracted for one day in the office a week in McCormick, and then I also give them additional time, you know, phone calls as project needs, corresponding with Department of Commerce, working on projects and stuff like that.
And I know they're sad to see you leave.
Yeah. I was there yesterday. They're a great, great group of folks. They're really starting to sing off the same page. They're going through a strategic planning process. And we do have a project over there that I'm hopeful that we'll be able to win, because we all know that that's the one county that the governor has not announced a project in since she took office. So that's really an important 46th for her.
Do you have the governor's direct telephone number?
Yeah, let me give it to you. 555-1212.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, I was just saying, because she has to have a lot of interest in McCormick. So as particularly because she's coming up for re-election here, and that wouldn't be an important feather in her cap.
Absolutely. And, you know, rural South Carolina is extremely important to not only the governor, but the Secretary of Commerce. And
they have quite a group down there.
They do. They do a great job. They're great partners with the local economic development groups and with the regions. And, I mean, the best group we've had there in a long time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So as you look at Greenwood, since that's going to be your major focus here.
And my only one after April 15th.
All right. What do you see futuristically? You know, one of my questions, and, you know, we were talking about this before we came on the air. What type of things, is there anything that Greenwood really needs to work on to be able to be a powerhouse place for people to say, businesses to say, I want to come to Greenwood?
Well, you know, we have so many of the right ingredients. And as we were saying before we went on air, it's really dependent upon which part of the economic development wheel we're talking about. Because for manufacturing and industrial, we need product. We mm-hmm. need sites, we need parks, we need buildings that meet their specs and qualifications. Mm-hmm. And success sometimes has a negative side, and that is when you sell buildings and Colgate-Palmolive comes to town and you have prospects who have optioned property and you can no longer show it, and then they become a new company here and it's completely off the market, you have to figure out ways to get more product into your inventory. And we really find ourselves in a place right now where we need to get ahead of that curve, because if we are successful in what I think will be another banner year in 2014-2015, we're going to need to get those sites ready for companies when they come in, do the due diligence on them, be able to provide that sort of documentation ahead of time. And then also consider a building that has really high ceiling heights and has some flexibility for them to go in and do what they need to do. You know, we also are very focused on the genetic center and the bio cluster. Of course, those are different needs that they have. Retail continues to be something that we're really focused on making certain that we have, because, you know, without the retail and the quality of life components, right, those first two aren't probably going to happen. So it's a neat mix to try to blend all the pieces together and come out with a really good program of work for economic development.
As far as manufacturing, do we have a place where we'll be able to go? Because we're really out of properties, aren't we? Or out of buildings, or almost out of buildings?
We do have some buildings left. And actually, I told our board at the last board meeting that there was a building in town that had been tied up in bank foreclosure. And I kept, like, with bated breath, I was like, oh, if we could just get through this foreclosure process, that would be another building. And even though the building itself is not the 30 feet ceilings, flexible, when we put it on the website at Commerce and Upstate Alliance and our website on a Friday, we had multiple site consultants and realtors hitting us up on Monday and Tuesday. And we actually had a prospect come to town that same week.
Wow.
So the... And I think that's what's important for people to understand. It's not necessarily just that a building or a really great site or park is the end use for someone, but it drives them into your community. And getting them to Greenwood and letting them see that we're not your average 69 and some change thousand square foot county, but we're really pretty darn unique. And we have a great healthcare system, and we have the lake, and we have the retail that you need for daily life. Once they get to see that, then they try to figure out ways to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that building may not have worked for that company,
sure,
they like the community. Mm-hmm. They like the reception they got. They like what they saw. Well, what if? What if you could show us a site and we'll build our own building? So that traffic and getting them to the community is so important, and that's another reason why we have to make sure we have the right product.
Now, what about the economy? What role does the economy, I mean, yes, the economy is upticking, but not at a roaring pace.
It's not, and I think it's going to be different given the industry sector. I mean, certainly there are certain types of companies right now that are trending at a faster recovery than others. You know, like at the Genetic Center, research, you always need advancements in research.
Sure.
And the bio side of our pie certainly is continuing to uptick. And that's, you know, that is widely responsible at the hands of Self Regional and Clemson and others like that that have invested their monies in that. But when you look at more of the industrial and the manufacturing, there are some key areas that are really coming to market. I mean, you saw Toray last week and Spartanburg announced.
Sure.
So that advanced materials side, those folks that support a BMW who's had record sales.
Hard to believe, isn't it? But it has.
It has. Or, you know, that support a new Boeing project. That, you know, those sorts of companies are going to follow success with their end user. And so if you kind of look at, you know, who's trending and who's having banner years, you can kind of figure out what suppliers and industry sectors are doing well and will continue to make investments in their states.
So are there any industries that particularly would be looking, the type of industry that would be looking at this area?
Advanced materials definitely is an area. You know, our existing industry continues to grow and prosper, and we try to support them as much as we can.
Sounds like Fuji.
Fuji, yes, absolutely. And there's a few others we're working with right now. And that's the thing that I try to remind folks of all the time. Colgate Palmolive is new, and right now they're the sexy cool kids.
Right.
But let's not forget Fuji, who's been here for 25 years, invested tons of money, reinvested this year. Or really any of our local industry. They're the ones that have
They have hung
been given back.
Yes.
Yeah, and even through a tough economy, you know, they were still continuing to invest in our community. So certainly they are a huge focus for us. General manufacturing will always be hot for this area. And then, of course, the genetic side.
Absolutely. Hey, we are here with Heather Simmons-Jones. We are going to join South Carolina News in Progress. We'll be back. Give us a call, 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery right here on the 72 Bypass. Our very special guest this afternoon, Heather Simmons-Jones, and she is going to be... I guess we could say she is the new CEO of the Greenwood Partnership right here in the Partnership Alliance. And Heather, you know, one of the other things I noticed, you are on the board of directors for the Clemson University Alumni Association.
Yes.
That's a good connection right there.
It is. You know, and it's a neat connection for me now being in Greenwood as well because of the Clemson Collaborative at the Genetics Center.
Sure.
And so when we had the announcement at Self Regional at the Cancer Center two Fridays ago, I was fortunate enough to get to go and bring Dr. Clements and his team over to Self Regional for the event and talk to him. And, you know, for me, it's important with the change in the president's position, but also the VP of economic development position is in change as well. And President Barker and John Kelly and their respective roles were huge supporters of the Genetics Center. And so we have to make certain that we're the little, you know, bee in the ear that's buzzing saying, keep Greenwood, you know, in the appropriations and keep the project plan that we've all committed to on the burner. And on all accounts, from what I can tell from Dr. Clements, you know, Greenwood is still a priority in the Genetics Center.
Sure. Now, just out of curiosity, how is that project coming together? They have, as far as building this new campus and everything?
We are actually trying to get all of the partners together to come up with a strategy. And with the turnover with Jim Barker and with Dr. Kelly, that's kind of been on hold a little bit. So Clemson obviously has their building. They're responsible for their building.
Sure.
The foundation is responsible for the land. And then the partnership is kind of there to sew everyone together and say, all right, you have this to bring to bear, and you have this to bring to bear, and we're going to now take that and sell it to the world and be your marketing arm.
Sure.
So that's really how we fit into the big puzzle there. But hopefully, with those positions being filled, we'll be able to kind of all sit around the room and say, all right, let's get a true strategy in place, and then we'll take that to market.
Sure. So that's going to be that's going to be a big project for you.
It is. It is. Our executive committee has already tasked me with creating that marketing plan and that strategy and creating a memorandum of agreement so we understand who's on first and who's on second and all that good stuff. So it will be another big task for us as a staff of two.
You're up to the challenge, I can tell, with
we
all the things
it.
You've been doing.
We
yes.
can do it.
Exactly. So at this point, we don't really have an idea when they're going to break any ground or do anything?
I do not have an exact deadline on that. I know that there's been some frustration about the process and going through budget and control and waiting and some of those things, but I don't know the intended date for that right now.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will have to wait and have you back again when you have more details.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Heather's going to be a regular on the show here. I see this is what we're going to have to do.
I like it.
Okay.
A weekly show.
Okay. All right. So, Heather, what else do we have on the burner right now? What else is happening in Greenwood that you can at least tell us there are good things? I understand we have a hot list here. We have project names. Are you going to continue the same Mark Warner idea of these bizarro names that you just come up with?
Actually, we don't usually come up with the names.
Yes.
It's a very rare occasion that the local community comes up with the name. It's usually,
oh, you know, Mark Warner had told me he just stands there and pow, just right off his brain comes up with these ideas.
Well, maybe he has more brain power than I. But, I mean, just as a for instance, in the case of Fuji, they named themselves Rooster. All of their project names have had a bird name. So, and
so
I think
the
it
next
might've...
time a project comes around and it's got a
chickadee,
bird, then we'll know it's Fuji. Okay,
that's okay. It. Project Wren, Project Chickadee, Seagull. But
I wonder if that has anything to do with the Japanese culture and the yes. Okay, all right, yeah.
Often though, the Department of Commerce comes up with a name. I mean, occasionally we would come up with the name. But, you know, we don't do it to be comical. I mean, we really do it because after a while you kind of run out of things to call projects. And often a company will come up with one and you will have already had that project.
Okay.
And so you have to kind of say, oh, well, we're either going to call you, you know, Wildcat number two or...
We need to come up with something else,
and then we do have to get kind of creative. And really, that's meant to protect the integrity of the project and the prospect so that if there's a competitor that's also looking in the area. Right now, that's one thing I can say about the economy is the sensitivity to competition. And so as we work with one project, it's not unusual for us to have a similar project, you know, kind of looking around the state at the same time. So we need to make sure we're using code names so that we can protect that.
Code names.
But if you want to give me some, I'm happy to
have
Project Facet. Or
okay. There you go. Now, just out of curiosity, we seem to have to quite often give up a lot to get a business here. Tax incentives and this type of thing. You know, how do you, for example, it seems to me like we have given a lot of tax incentives, and that means the people of Greenwood County are going to have to ante up every time we take a property off the tax rolls. That's something that, how do you justify that?
Okay, great question. So 3 points. One is 100% of zero is still zero.
Right.
And I can come back to that. The second one is when you take a property off the tax rolls, it probably was paying less taxes in its original use than a new use when someone's investing a bunch of money in it. And thirdly, we do an ROI and a cost-benefit analysis on all projects. So if we go back to 100% of zero, people want to talk about you're giving something away.
Right.
Well, okay, then let's not give them anything, and they don't come, then we still have zero.
Do you sometimes though end up giving more than you wanted to give because of the competition factor between city A and city B or town A or town B?
I think we all kind of have guidelines. You know, the county and the partnership working together have guidelines as to what is appropriate. The state has guidelines as to what is appropriate. And then we look at our cost-benefit analysis, and if it gets askew and we're not getting a really good return, like, you know, a high number to one,
right,
then we probably have to make that gut decision that says either we are going to do this for this instance because it's the project of the century, or we've got to back away. And, it's not bad to sometimes say, this project is too rich for our community, and we're just not going to do it.
Sure.
And that takes a really strong community to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Sure.
But if you're using the models and you're working with the state, we have great partners at the state. Often, if you're going to get into a situation where it's that big of a company where you have to lose sleep at night about whether to give them more or walk away, the state is going to help you get through that process.
What do you think, Heather, when Amazon came? You know, there was a big discussion about them not having to pay sales tax. Mm-hmm. That was a gut wrench for a lot. And yet they had already started building their building. They were already invested in down there in Lexington. Mm-hmm. What do you think, looking back at that decision? We can all say, oh, it was a great decision. But that had to be one of those gut-wrenching decisions.
It was. And in fact, Amazon happened while I was president of the South Carolina Economic Developers Association.
Well, I didn't even know that, Heather.
And we actually had to give some opinions and write some letters and so on and so forth. And really, at the end of the day, our stance on that was, doesn't matter whether that it was Amazon or Colgate or Fuji or Toray, if you promised them something, you have to give it, because they came under the assumptions that the prior administration's word was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so South Carolina would have lost a lot of face if we had said, we're going to tell you this, and it's not in writing yet, and we want you to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to take, we could take it away, and we did that for this company.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it was less about the company itself, the company being Amazon, and it was more about the precedent we would set and the ripple effect that other companies we were currently working with would feel.
Sure.
As well as, we probably could have put Commerce into different roles. They could have gone to work for PRT or Department of Employment and Workforce, because the phones wouldn't have been ringing if we had told Amazon that we weren't going to honor those commitments.
Well, there you go. You got the straight scoop right here this afternoon with Heather Simmons-Jones. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones, too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Heather Simmons-Jones, Partnership Alliance new CEO, officially takes the reins April 15th. Why did they choose April 15th, since that's tax day, Heather? I mean, I'm just curious.
Well, it sticks out in your mind.
Yeah,
it
sure does.
No, really, it was just I had given them an amount of time that I needed in order to get the other clients to a point where I felt they would be okay, and also to work out the arrangements with my company.
Sure, exactly. It's just April 15th. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of taxes in that way, now, you know, one of the things I know that is an issue that we keep talking about in South Carolina, but we don't ever seem to do anything about it, but does the tax structure for businesses particularly have an effect on what happens when you're trying to get somebody here in Greenwood or anywhere here in South Carolina?
It does. You know, that's when people don't understand the tax structure, and or they don't understand incentives. I think it's important to make that correlation there. Other states that have gone through a comprehensive tax reform have made their tax proposition such that, let's just say it's, you know, minimal to a company coming in. And that's where our incentives come in. Our incentives are used to equalize that proposition to them, to get that company to a similar or close place as what our competitive states that have been through a reform process are offering. So I believe that comprehensive tax reform, not just picking up sales and use or an inventory or something else, but we really need to look at comprehensively the way that businesses are taxed. And individuals too, for that matter.
Wow, and we have an election year coming up. What do you think, Heather? Is that going to happen?
I wouldn't put my money on it.
Yeah, there you go. I tell you what. It would be refreshing in politics if we had people that went to do the job, and the heck with getting reelected, right? That would be a unique concept.
It would be. Yeah. You let me know when you find a place that works.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets. We're talking with Heather. You know, one of the things that's come up as a question, we've had several of these come in, is the idea, if a business is trying to figure out, one, is there anything that can be done for existing businesses, whether it's expanding or doing more? And also, if there is a business that happens to be listening out there that is looking at coming into this area, how do you go about evaluating? Actually, what can you do for businesses? We're all looking for a handout, Heather.
I hear you. I would say we get calls often about grants. And so first and foremost, I will say there are little to no grant monies available right now. Mm-hmm. But what we tell folks, and I had a call on the way here today, from a local company that is looking to expand. And what I ask them to do is first call us, 388-1250, mm-hmm. call the partnership, and meet with us. We will have a company profile that we need folks to fill out. If it's a large enough investment, we'll get the Department of Commerce involved, and they will go through the process just as a billion-dollar company goes through. You know, mm-hmm. they will get the same sorts of consideration based on their wages, mm-hmm. based on their job creation, and based on their capital investment. Those are the three big things we have to look at. Mm-hmm. So I always caution folks in saying, when you call us, that doesn't mean I'm saying there's money out there.
Right.
But certainly sometimes the resources we can bring to bear are equally as important. Maybe that particular company that calls, there is a supply chain relationship to mm-hmm. be had in Greenwood. And they're currently maybe getting a raw material from 2 or 3 hours away. And we can reduce that logistics cost for them. Or maybe there's an end user that we know about in the community, and we can link them together. So mm-hmm. if people are thinking about growing, equally, if they're thinking about closing their doors, mm-hmm. just give us a call. Let us see if there's something we can do to help. If there is, it's in our best interest to help.
Sure.
If there's not, we're going to be candid and say, you know, we've exhausted all avenues. We've talked to Small Business Development Center. We've spoken to the COG about a revolving loan. We've reached out to Commerce, the Research Authority, SBA, and unfortunately, your project doesn't qualify. I mean, that's a tough thing to have to say.
Sure.
But I think people appreciate the fact knowing you went to bat for them.
Sure. And, you know, I think there's something to be said is if somebody says it doesn't look like it can come together, there's something to be said for not sinking everything that you have into something to have something that won't succeed, to have all these indicators to help you make those decisions.
Right. And sometimes the companies that call us, the smaller companies, may not even have a business plan, you know. And so when we start asking them questions about their growth models and things, sometimes the best thing we can do for them is to get them a resource that helps them put that business plan together so they can model and budget, and then apparent, you know, opportunities or apparent pitfalls mm-hmm. come into vision, and you know, that may change the direction they take.
Sure. What do you think about the small business person, the person that wants to go into business in today's world? I mean, you've been in business, I'm in business. God knows you made a choice to work for somebody. Hallelujah.
I don't know if that makes me sane or insane.
No, I think it's a good choice
I'm
in today's
ticking.
World. In
I know,
today's
I
world.
Know.
But because small business people, they work their butts off.
They do.
You know, to be successful, they work their butts off. But what do you have to say to the person that is thinking about going into business? And what do you have to say? I mean, you made the plunge.
Yeah. Well, it's important to understand that going into business requires that you have a product or a service that is needed and mm-hmm. is unique. So when folks...
That's hard.
Well, it is. Yes. Yeah. It is. And that's why there's a lot of failure in mm-hmm. entrepreneurial development. But if you truly have either a product that, you know, you can get some intellectual property off of, you can patent, or you have a service where you've identified a gap in the market, mm-hmm. or a professional service like I did, where I identified that there were some gaps in how economic development offices worked, well, then I say you don't lose a lot by at least vetting it through a business plan, talking to Small Business Development Center and others, and seeing if you, here's another big one, if you qualify for the funds to get it off the ground.
Sure.
I mean, oftentimes companies have grand ideas, but we call it the friends and family plan. You know, you are looking at everyone around you saying, oh, if you can give me $1,000 and you can give me $1,000. And that's where today's economy comes in. Sometimes traditional financing isn't necessarily the best match for a startup.
That's right. And yeah. It certainly has changed how people have found that startup money.
Right, yeah. Right. So I say go into it with your eyes wide open. Be willing to take the chance, but do your due diligence so that you understand the full picture. Usually entrepreneurs are not budgeting experts and accounting experts. And, you know,
they're the idea people.
Idea people. And that
exactly.
Left brain and that right brain may not be going down the same path.
Exactly.
So that's why it's good to talk to folks who've done it before and who are have expertise in those other areas so that you can build the best plan to be successful.
And I think that today there are so many resources. Years ago, a lot of people just said, I'm going to do this, started in their garage, and before you know it, they had a business going.
I know.
Today, it's a lot more technical to be able to start a business.
It is. And I was so excited to see when I was with Dr. Clements last week at the Clemson Alumni Association board meeting, he was talking about Dr. Pickett and the new MBA with a focus on entrepreneurialism.
So, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And the fact that they're going to have that now for professionals, so you can do that as a part-time MBA mm-hmm. while you continue to work. And it's like a lifetime laboratory. So, I mean, there's some 15 years ago, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about degrees.
No, we weren't.
In that.
Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to go on just a second here. But, yeah, Heather, I think there are a lot of resources. I think can the partnership point people in the right place to look for resources and or how to further what they're trying to do?
Sure. I mean, we don't attempt to have all the answers. We couldn't have all the answers, but certainly we are more than happy to be a go-to arm to source folks into the right direction.
I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah, I think it is too, because the worst thing that someone can hear when they're excited about a new idea or bringing
it's
a company.
Kind of like being in love, right?
Yeah, you don't want to hear no.
That's right, exactly.
You don't want to hear no. I mean, you want to hear, I may not have it, but let me see if I can find it. Or
sure.
Have you spoken to so-and-so? Because that's a much more palatable answer. And hopefully it's something that provides a solution. I mean, we want to be solution-based. We want to help folks locally. We want to help bring new folks in. And we want to make for a better Greenwood community.
You know, Heather, I think that's something that a lot of people don't know about the partnership. I think we always think about the partnership as going after the big nuggets, trying to bring them into town. We don't think about the fact that we have businesses here or people that want to start, and there's resource and information, and resource I'm using as information too, and places that you can point them to go to help get them the information that they need.
Right. We won't be the end
right.
person they talk to. But we can certainly steer them in the direction of other resources.
Sure.
And that's certainly what we want to do. You know, people don't think about the partnership in this other way, in this new role that we're taking on, and that is the Greenwood Promise. You know, if the Greenwood Promise, which is the tuition assistance for students that graduate from a high school in Greenwood County mm-hmm. to go on to either a two-year or four-year institution, we are involved in that, and if it becomes an actual project, that will be housed under the foundation of the partnership. So, you know, it's about all aspects of a healthy community. It's equally as important for us to have a clean and non-littered community as it is for us to have low crime, as it is for us to have great retail, as it is for us to have jobs and good wages. I mean, they're all part of the overall puzzle. And we as a partnership have to be concerned with all those pieces, because when one of them starts to slide or fail, well,
it reflects on the other.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right. Well, Heather, it certainly has been a joy to have you here this afternoon. If you want to call the partnership, 388-1250, that's 388-1250. I hope you'll come back, and we didn't even get to these hot list projects, but you probably wouldn't have told me anything anyway.
Oh, and so. I was just set ready to do it. I'm sorry we ran out of time.
Oh, we can stay right here, Heather, no problem.
Next time.
Next time. You've got a hot list here, though, that says totals what? Capital investment, 745.
And that's 2-3 months old.
Yes.
Yeah. It's edging over that next term.
Next term.
After million comes another word.
Yes. So. That's called a billion, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, but I didn't say that.
Okay. All right. But I did. And then looks like he had down about with about 665 potential new jobs. This list actually was the hot list in December. So have you got more number to put with the jobs?
We do. We have an increased investment on one of the projects there. It's almost doubled. So, well, yeah, we feel good about the pipeline. You know, that again is just a pipeline. That doesn't
right.
mean they're coming.
Right.
We feel good about the fact that we should have some announcements in the second quarter of this year. Again, you know, you don't know until
April, May, June.
Yeah,
okay.
You don't know until they actually go public. But I would say that Greenwood is poised to have a banner year. We're right now, we kind of track things on fiscal years. So for the 2013-2014 fiscal year, we've had the best year in Greenwood's history since it's been tracking economic development. We have over $240 million so far this year, and 460 jobs.
460.
Yeah. Yeah. So we hope to end out by June 30th with a bang and add some more to that. But you know, things are, I would say, my professional opinion is that Greenwood should enjoy a lot more success and announcements and should be proud of the way it works together and the leadership and really the way that the community shows.
So we are going to keep Greenwood green and growing.
I certainly intend to do so.
Absolutely. Hey, Heather, thanks so much for coming out today. It's been nice to get to know you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. News is over. We'll probably hear a word or two from our sponsors and then go on to the next show. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Bye-bye, everybody.